to use my brain for you and use it to write songs for you. You're getting all of the best of me, 'cause I'm giving all of the best of me. Oh love, my heart's only built for two. You won't wear me out 'cause I'm the perfect shoe. You're getting all of the best of me, 'cause I'm giving all of my best. I don't need words and I don't need songs, but I choose to use them. My light shines bright when it shines for you. Whoa, I ain't blowing smoke. No, this ain't how to act, how I choose to love you. Light shines brighter when it shines for two. You turn on the truth in me. You light up my heart with possibility. I'm getting everything I need, 'cause you're giving everything to me. You are forever in my destiny, woven into it like a tapestry. Your love is everything to me, 'cause you're giving everything I need. I don't need words, I don't need songs, but I choose to use them. My life shines brighter when it shines for you. Oh, this little light of mine, God, you keep it burning brighter. Trust me, I'm gonna let it shine if you keep it burning brighter. Ooh, and I don't need words, no, I don't need songs, but I choose I'm brighter when I shine for you. Whoa, I ain't blowing smoke. No, this ain't hot air. Now I choose to love you. Light shines brighter when it shines for two. Oh,
good evening, Blog Talk Radio listeners and my Running for Christ Ministries family. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to our Wednesday night Advanced Bible Teaching Class. I have some rules to go over first. If you would like to participate in the discussion or answer the questions, please press 1 and this will put you in the host queue. Also, please try to keep background noises to a minimum. It is better to use your mute until you're ready to speak. Amen. Let us pray. Come into our hearts, Father. Come into our lives and into our homes as we collectively come to you to get clarity of the scripture assigned in this lesson. We know you are feeding us all, so let us break bread together and share with the rest of the world the nourishment we receive. Father, we thank you for being able to sit at your feet. So let us get full, meditate, and plant seeds going forward. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so here I'm going to give you the sing of what's going on. It's a banquet on the Sabbath day, chief Pharisee's home. And this is what is taking place during this time. I need somebody to read Luke 14, 7 through 11. Amen.
Amen. Luke 14, 7 verse. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden when he marked how they chose the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him came, come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou began with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mother Irma. Now here, they use the word bidden. Bidden means to call or invite. Because this must be the King James Version, because it's the King's language. So to just break it down so you can understand what's being said, this is what Jesus is noticing, because he's at this banquet as well, that the people that were coming in, they're trying to seat themselves closest to those, to the dignitaries of the people of importance. So this part of the lesson, the outline, is the attitude, the attitudes of the people who are attending this banquet. Okay, and moving on, this also is showing us the attitudes that a lot of us have today. You know how we want the best seats, top of the line, clothes. But see, all these things is not what's going to get us into heaven. All these things is not what God is looking for out of us. God looks at those who we least expect to do and to represent him. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. And also, it says, this is a lesson in humility. It says, Jesus was having a meal at the home of one of the leaders of the Pharisees. There he noticed that all the invitees were getting the best seats, the places of honor, so that they could be recognized. Jesus responded by telling them that when they were invited to the feast, they should not choose the best seats. If they did and then somebody more important showed up, they would be asked to move down to a lower seat and they would be disgraced. Jesus advised that his hearers, when they were invited to a meal, they should instead take the lower seat. The host might come to them and send them to a more prominent seat and move them up. But don't just in front of everybody, you know, in the presence of everybody. If you ask to move because you're in a seat that belongs to somebody that's more dignified or higher up, because, you know, they lived in a hierarchy, you know, everybody that they invited, first of all, was friends and family and all the big shots. You know, all the top people of that community. So Jesus was teaching you, he's teaching us a lesson in humility. You know, just because you get there earlier don't mean you get the best seat. You know, and it's not about, you know, where you sit. It's about the attitude that you have towards being seated. So Jesus concludes that by stating the general spiritual principle to be humbled and humbled to be honored. So the meaning of Jesus' illustration becomes clear when we understand the Eastern society was very hierarchical by nature, much more so than they were in the West. So titles and dress codes indicated power and status and unduly prized. In that kind of society, Jesus called his hearers to do the traditional and look to receiving their honor from God and not from where you sit and what you wore. Okay, and moving forward, okay, the humility honored in this scripture, Jesus explained how important it is to be humble with other people. Imagine yourself at a fancy dinner honoring an important guest. Think how embarrassing it would be if you sat down near that celebrity, but the host asked you to move further away. Jesus said it is much better to begin further down the table than to have the most and to have the host ask you to move up. Jesus explained through this story that our place at God's table is totally dependent on him. There is nothing we can do to improve our status with God. It is only through his grace and mercy that we are even seated at his table. We should be humbled by this truth. In a practical sense, we should take God. Rather than spend time only with those in our close circle of friends, we should reach out to those around us who are in need and do not have the means to reciprocate. We are then being truly hospitable, not merely entertained with the expectations of a return invitation. Amen.
Amen.
Nah.
Okay. And it also states that Jesus noticed how people actively sought out the seeking places of honor at the form of dinner being held at the house of one of the chief Pharisees. Verse 1 related a parable about the personal humility at a wedding celebration. Jesus instructed the self-seeking guests not to seek out the important seats at the dinner table. Doing so was a potential cause for acute embarrassment, for more prominent guests might arrive later, and the already seated guests would have to draw everyone's attention when he had to move to a place of a lower status. So in order to prevent such humiliation, Jesus taught his listeners to seek out the less prominent seats. This humble action could result in the guest being promoted to a more prominent, unoccupied seat. Okay, and then I looked up some scriptures that had to do with the seating order as pertaining to Jesus. So I looked up Matthew 20 through 21, and it was the mother of the sons of Zebedee. You know, she asked for her sons to sit at the right hand of Jesus when Jesus has already sitting at the right hand of God. They didn't even realize what they were asking. But I used that scripture another time when you feel that you might deserve to sit next to him because you follow him, but when you don't have the status that God has or Jesus, you don't have that right to give yourself that status. You're supposed to be humble. You're not supposed to look to be seated next to him or up even close to where he is, because none of us, all of us fall short of his glory. Amen. Okay, and then again in Hebrews 10:12-13 talks about honorary seating. Again. So can somebody read Hebrews 10:12-13?
Give me a minute. Let me pull over.
Hey, can you get it?
Wait, Hebrews 10?
10, 12 to 13.
Okay. I got it.
Okay.
That's Hebrews 10, 12 to 13?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it reads like this. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for all sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool.
Amen. See, this again tells us that nobody has the right to ask to sit to the right hand of Jesus himself.
Yeah, they just wanted to be important. Back in the day, when it was like you would have like Cecil Clark come and preach at my home church, and then preachers would come from everywhere to hear Dr. Cecil Clark. And, you know, at First Baptist, they had, you know, good seating in the pulpit. You know, you could get maybe 6 preachers up there plus the pastor. And you could put a couple of chairs there. Now you got about 8 preachers plus the pastor. So people would rush to get into the pulpit so they could be in the pulpit with Dr. Cecil Clark. So they could say, yeah, I sat in the pulpit with Dr. Cecil Clark. And it gave them a certain kind of importance. But then we also would empty out the choir stand, and the overflow of preachers would have to go into there. I did not want to sit. See, I used to get to sit in the office with Dr. Cecil Clark because my job was to bring the preacher out when he was ready to come out into the service. So I had already been in the office with him. So when I come out to the pulpit, I hate sitting in pulpit. So I would hurry up and give up my seat to somebody else. Imagine this. You done ran up into the pulpit like this scene Jesus was saying. They're jockeying for a position so they could be known as important people because they're around important people. But imagine this. All these preachers gaggled up in the pulpit, and then Pastor Barlow walks in. He's known as the Downriver Area Bishop, right? In other words, he's preacher of preachers. So somebody in that pulpit about to get embarrassed because they're going to have to get up and give Pastor Barlow a seat. That's going to happen. And that means since the overflow is already kind of full, you going to the back of the overflow. And so, you know, I saw that happen so many times, people trying to be important. Sheila and I would give up our seat at the head table because we didn't want to be at the head table. So, you know, so let them have it. Praise the Lord. We would rather sit right there amongst the people. But, yeah, I've seen that happen where people literally got embarrassed because they ran up to the front to be with the important people and look important and ended up having to go to the back because in some cases you have to leave all the way out because there ain't no seats left. And that's even more embarrassing. Now you got to stand around in the hall. And so, yeah. But I remember that thought. I might want to share that.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, well, Pastor answered my question because I had a question is, how do you think Jesus would evaluate some of our social customs?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was one of them where they felt they all had the right to be next to this man, you know, because of their titles or their jobs, you know, in the church when it was already somebody assigned for him.
I have a question.
Okay.
I know that's a human reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Is it to the point to where we do this just to get, how would you say, a little bit of fame and fame and glory, or is it just something that subconsciously that we do, or is it a sin?
It's to make ourselves look good. It's sinful in the nature of the attitude that you have, but you know, I think that it's only natural. You know, especially if you feel that you haven't had this opportunity. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you know, but I still think that your attitude is sinful in the approach that you have because it steals people coming there that are more important than you. So your attitude is self-gratifying. Okay. You want to say something, Eric?
Yes. Well, you see, y'all seen about those finger rings in modern day time. It's like go to a concert or to a football game, and you sitting
right
in somebody else's seat.
Right.
It's an instantly like you embarrass everybody looking at you like, oh, I thought that was AC.
Right. Excuse me, it made it to your little corner, and then they in the wrong seat all along.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know, and that is embarrassing. That is
right.
Embarrassing. Because I know back before I gave my life to Christ, and I used to be, when I go to a concert, my attitude be like, I wish somebody would be in my seat. You know what I'm saying? That was my attitude. You know, because you know people, if you're a little late or whatever, they don't try to get away with sitting in a better seat than what they have. But, you know, that's the question I wanted to ask. How do you think Jesus would evaluate some of our social customs? And that's one of them. Because I know me. But, you know, now I'm like, well, whatever it is, I paid for what I did, and I earned what I have, and it was through God that I was able to pay for that seat, so God going to make it so that seat is there for me, you know.
Otherwise, just ask the usher to show you where you sit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you get direct to your seat. Okay, and the other question that I wanted to ask is, how can we consciously develop a humble attitude without seeming self-righteous?
Repeat that question.
Consciously develop a humble attitude without seeming self-righteous.
Ooh.
Trying to think, what would Jesus do?
My thing is, I came up with the answer too as well. I would pray about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what would Jesus do? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would pray about it. Yes. You know, because you don't never know what you're dealing with out here, and this part of the lesson is about your attitude. It's about humility. It's about not thinking that high of yourself and putting yourself in a lower position, so you could be raised up in God's eyes, not in your own eyes. You don't go about something thinking that you deserve that. You go to the Lord, to the less, the seats further away first. Then who's ever throwing the party might ask you, well, look, you don't have to sit there. You can come sit up here with us, you know?
Yeah.
The whole thing is about humility. Verses 7 through 11 is totally about humility. Okay, and what is it?
Yeah, and it is. And Sister Loretta, you were saying when you were out in the world, you know, your attitude was a little bit different. And, you know,
yeah.
I kind of feel the same way, too, because we had tickets. And it was, in fact, it was like the school board members, and it was an event at the circus for the kids. So we had taken some kids down, and, you know, I was a little later coming in, and we were on time. We were not late, but I have some ones that come early. So they were sitting in our seats, and we just went on and sat behind them or whatever. It wasn't any big thing to me. So my girls tell me later that when they were trying to explain to them, those are our seats. This is what our ticket says. The girl said, well, y'all should have got here earlier than us then. And she didn't tell me that. So I'm like, well, thank God she didn't tell me that, because I probably would have had some choice words for her and made her, probably cause a scene. So God didn't want me to go there with her. So, but we were fine sitting, you know, one row back. It wasn't a big deal. But you have to be ready. You don't have to be ready. You do have to be prayed up, because, you know, the devil be busy. And he presents some to you, but God is going to always have an escape for you to get out, you know, when you're trying
to
live righteous and do the right thing. So I was like, well, it was better. I didn't know that they told you girls that.
I am one. It took me forever to humble myself. I'm telling you, because, you know, I was the type of person that I lied into you, 10 years of words. But this lesson in humility shows us all and lets us know that this is how God wants us to be.
Be humble.
So, yes. So when you read this word, not only do you listen to it, you hear it, and you heed to it. You act on it.
Right.
So as
follow
I was reading this, I was like, thank you, Lord, for humbling me. You know, continue to humble me because you're not done with me yet. I still, you know, you still got that part inside of you that makes you want to, you know, dignify yourself. But I have to realize that now I'm representing Christ. So my approach is more humble than it normally is, you know. So like I said, you know, as we read these lessons and we're learning how to teach them, we're also learning about ourselves and what it is God wants us to do because he's not done with any of us. And if we want to plant seeds and bring people to Christ, we have to go out there and show people the changes that God has made in us. You know, how can I tell you how to do something if I'm not trying to practice it myself, if I'm not being a living example? You know, that's a hypocrite. So I don't want to be a hypocrite. So I'm telling you, you are this walk through these lessons, through these Bible classes, it's given me so much strength and power. And it lets me realize, it makes me realize that God is using me. Despite how tore up I think I am, because when Pastor first told me I was going to be a teacher, I asked him, I said, do you know who you asked to teach God's words? Because I know where I came from. But I also see now my own spiritual growth, and it gives me pleasure to humble myself, to tone it down, to allow God to have the authority over my life than for Loretta to be out there, you know. But I thank y'all for those responses.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. And also, I had a part to read here. Okay, it's called, let me see, did I get it? It says, that's why it says Jesus instructed self-seeking guests not to seek out the important seats. Doing so was a potential cause for embarrassment. In order to prevent such humiliation, Jesus taught his listeners to seek out the less prominent seat. This humble action could result in somebody giving you the status you was trying to get from the beginning. You know, because I noticed that when we get to it, the entire parable, you know, breaking it down, it's like, okay, this all ties in to a bigger picture. And Jesus spoke in parables for us to understand that through these parables, only those who are seeking after him is revealing the truth to us. And as soon as we get this truth and we are trying to live this truth, we're more able to go out and bring others in. So as I was reading this, like I said, it took me a while for it to soak in. But then we have been talking about parables in our Saturday class as well. So I already knew the reason for a parable. But of the parables, it's because anybody that's not seeking the true word of God or just seeking to follow Christ, they're not going to understand this. So this parable of the banquet, it had three outlines. And the first outline was humility. It was the attitude about the people who were coming in and seating themselves in the best seat. Okay, and now the next part of this lesson, which is the opportunities, comes in at Luke 14:15-20. And can somebody read that for us?
And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that they were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all went, one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have brought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have brought five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have excused me. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Amen.
Okay. Amen. Now, amen. Now, in this scenario, the banquet is already feast laid out. You know, when you throw something at your house, you're going to invite your family, your friends, you know, the those closest to you first. All right. Now, master of the house, we'll call him, that was throwing this banquet, had sent his servant out to tell everybody that everything was ready and they were to come now at this time because the feast is laid out for them. So in reading this part of the lesson is called opportunity. Okay. And what it is here is all these people who he thought of and gave them invitations to this opportunity to decline. They all came up with different excuses. Okay. Let's teach with the blind man. Let me get to my little lesson here. Okay. It says, a share in the kingdom. One of those who sat at the table with Jesus responded by saying, how wonderful it would be to eat the bread in the kingdom of God. Eating bread was a sign of fellowship and being accepted. Hospitality in the Eastern culture was almost always denoted by sharing a meal together. This man assumed that he and the others present will also be present in God's kingdom. Jesus' story challenged the assumptions of this man and many others. So at this time, we're getting to the part where did you automatically assume that he's getting in to God's kingdom because he's there, you know, at the point where he feels that he's with those that are most important, when actually those that this master of this house deemed important declined. So, you know, just because you're here and you're able to eat from this platter don't mean that you're going to enter this kingdom. It's still, how can I say it? It's still about your attitude, and it's about the opportunity for you to show yourself, to prove yourself. You know, and so I went to, let's see, developing the lessons. Let's see. Okay. It says, Jesus' story centered around another feast. The host went out to send out invitations to the feast. When the meal was ready, he sent out his servants to call the invitees to come. All of them made excuses. However, the excuses was frivolous ones and showed disrespect to the host who had painstakingly arranged the meal for them. One invitee said he had just bought a field that had to be inspected, and another said he had just bought five pair of oxen and had to test them, and another said he had just been married and thus could not come. In the Eastern world, The way a person responds to an invitation indicates the way he regards the host. Invitations are usually given in person and with great investment of time and effort. People take offense if they are not invited in person. This shows that the invitee is held in high regard. This shows the aspect, the respect is expected to be reciprocated. Discuss what we do with invitations and how we usually respond. How does your response show your love and respect for the person who invited you? How did we respond to God when he invited us into his kingdom? Mm-hmm. Do we extend the same invitations to others so that they can come into his kingdom? That's a question I'm asking you guys.
Well, here's my question. How do you send an invitation to someone that doesn't believe in God?
But this invitation is still there.
I know it, but it's still there. But how do you get that person to actually understand what God has for them for this invitation for eternal life?
Okay, so the thing is once we get this good news,
mm-hmm.
as being Christians, it's up to us to deliver that news to other people.
So how would you break it down?
I would break it down to them like we all started from way back here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gradual walk, but we all walking the same path every day, trying to do the right thing. It doesn't make us better than anybody. It don't mean I get to sit there first. It just means that we all got the same invitation. It's just all about when you accept the invitation for yourself.
But then our actions as Christians speak for itself. If you can get that person to see how you are because you got that invitation from God for eternal life, that you want that other person to get. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, see, the thing is that the kingdom of God is open to everybody. You know, and it's open to everybody, but only few are chosen.
Right.
The chosen ones are the ones that choose to do God's will or to try to do God's will. Nobody is perfect. We all on this path of spiritual growth. And we're not all at the same place of in our Christianity, but we all have the same goal. And that goal is to live for eternity with Christ on the other side. See, people always think that everything is after you die, but if you don't take the steps in this life or make the transaction in this life or change your life in a manner where other people notice that you walk different and you talk different, then how can you tell anybody that how good the glory of God is if you're not letting him shine through the way you live? You know what I'm saying? So our lesson is solely about accepting God's invitation. And I don't care what we do and how we do it, it is... Janice taught us this in Saturday's class. You must listen. You must hear, which means you perceive it. You must heed the word and act on it. And that's when the change comes about. And that's when you're able to go out there enthusiastically and tell everybody about the glory of God because you're living it. You're feeling it. You're in it. You know, and that's what it means when it says to let God's light shine through us. You know, I pray that all the time because I'm telling you, this world is so corrupt that if you don't stay prayed up, you're going to have some problems that you can't shake loose. You know,
yeah,
I'm serious.
For real.
But,
I agree.
Yes, but pardon me? Go ahead.
No, I said I agree, and
yes.
I just wanted to just say this real quickly. We have to continue to keep planting the seed because one day, you know, I look at when Kathy is inviting different services and Aquadural is inviting, you know, the different classes that we have. One day somebody gonna click on that, and then they're gonna end up joining. Oh, okay. So you have to continuously keep planting. They may not understand it, and you know, I'm not saying that we're not able to break it down, but we just have to keep trying and keep inviting and keep planting that seed, because one day it's gonna hit them.
Exactly.
You know, hopefully. Yeah.
But yes, because if you think about it like this, how many times were we invited? And what type of person did we feel that was inviting us or showing us? So my thing is this, if I try to walk right and talk right, then you don't mind following me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But if I'm not trying to live the way the words that I'm talking to you, then you're not going to want to follow me. You know what I'm saying?
One way you have to be patient. Because somebody was patient with us. And when it's time for you to come, you know, it seemed like it's always something that's going on in your life that make you come to God. But when he sees, when other people
there you
look
go.
At us,
that's it.
When other people look at us and
there you go.
See what we're offering, they be like, well, I might want some of that. But if we out there acting like, you know, unchristian people, they're going to be like, I don't want none of that. And so a lot of times they're going through something, and that's when it hit them that they really need God in their life. Mm-hmm.
That's right, Kathy. I'm going
to
tell y'all a short story.
We just don't have to be ready to welcome them when they come
right.
and not take them away. Mm-hmm.
When I moved to Ruth, I was lost. I was searching for God. He strategically placed older women in my life that led me to reading my Bible every day. I started off in Bible school, and I remember back then Bible school was on a Thursday. Thursday was my bingo night. Bible class was so good, I gave up bingo on Thursday night. And from there, I found it on. But what I'm trying to say is this. I asked them ladies, because I was like, I'm sitting here playing cards with people and stuff. They 80 years old and, you know, laughing and playing. I was like, what is it that y'all got? Miss Stevenson, they run that center in E-Course. Miss Stevenson, that runs that center in E-Course. I asked her, I said, how at 100 years old, back then she was like 97. You get up every day and come and sit up in here for 8 hours. She said, I have a relationship with Christ. I told Ms. Stevenson, I said, I want that. And people came, walked through that center, through that door, that were in the church and had given their life to Christ, older women. And they sat down with me and started having Bible studies. Then Mother Stubblefield came in and brought me to the Bible class. And from the Bible class, I found a church home. But see, like you said, you have to see that in these people. But you know, most 80-year-old people rocking in chairs and catatonic. You know, they're not out driving every day and, you know, doing things, you know, living. And when they told me that they had a relationship with God, I told them that was like 14 years ago that I wanted that. And I kept working at it, and I kept coming, and I kept listening, you know. And then I began to act on the word. And so there now I'm a member of a church that I'm proud of, a Bible-based reading church, as well as I'm teaching the word, which at that time I was lost, you know. So it shows you that when you see something that's real in somebody. Then when I got to the church, I had all these mothers that were great examples that I looked up to. So now, you know, you have all this, but then when you're walking around and you don't have a mother, but you got the love of all these mothers. Mother Cowan was one. Mother Stubblefield was another. Mother Marilyn, Mother Persia. Lord, and right now I got a flock for the other mother, Mother Irma. I'm telling you, People don't realize how much they have shown me, and they're not even related to me, but they're my sisters and brothers. They're my mothers in Christ, you know. And so that's what this invitation from God to us is all about. It's us getting in relationship with God and then going out and telling other people and showing other people. That's when you know you have accepted God's invitation.
So was these mothers there?
I got a question.
Was these mothers' invitation for you to come to Christ?
These mothers showed me what it was like when you walk with Christ. I'm going to be like that when I get 80 years old. I don't want to be sitting in somebody's house in a rocking chair. I still want to be able to get out and laugh and enjoy. They didn't give their life to Christ, but Christ gave them full life. That's what I want. You know? I'm serious. A lot of people don't think like that, but, you know, I remember my grandmother and stuff still going to Cedar Point with us because she gave her life to Christ, so she had a full life. And his light was able to shine to her. Look how many children that she led to Christ in her life. And see, that's why I always tell them when I talk to them, I say, when I grow up, I want to be just like you because I want to lead people to Christ. And so the invitation that was given to me, I accepted Christ. And so now I want to share that with other people because it don't matter where you start out. What matters is where you end up. Because we're all going to be 6 feet under. I don't care how much money you got, how much status you got, your hole is still 6 feet deep.
Any comments, y'all?
Yes, any comments? Amen. I don't want to take up the whole conversation.
It's about living peacefully and having a peaceful life. And you try to tell the young adult generation about that, you know, about how to live for Christ and give them all your concerns and all your problems and all your issues, and you wouldn't be going through those things. And if you out there, you know, like us as Christians out there trying to do the right thing and trying to live for God, and they should be able to look at us and see what they want in their life. They should want it, you know, but some of them just don't want it, you know. But, you know, you have to almost have to get down on your knees and before you come to them, you know. But as long as you keep telling them, you keep telling them, you keep telling them, you know. So, look, do you see me with all these problems going on? I have my concerns and issues that I go through, but I give them to God. But you don't see all this drama going on in my life. You don't see that. It's peace. It's peace. It's peace. And so I want them to look at that and say, that's what I want. This is how you get it. Read God's word, you know. And so long as and I tell them, I give them advice. I say, see, look what you're going through. Why are you going through that? Because you haven't given your life to God yet, and you're going to keep on going through that until you get tired. You should want peace, so.
Yeah, I got a question.
But you have to keep telling them and have to keep showing them and they have to keep seeing you, you know, seeing you praying, seeing you hearing a song come out of your heart, and seeing you reading your word and on Bible study, they see you doing those things, and one day they're gonna say, can I listen in? You know, or if you send it to them, if you invite them and you send that invitation to them through, you know, text whatever or email, and they get it, one day they're gonna call and start listening. So just keep giving it to them because they're going to be like, I want that peace.
That's right.
I want to be able to pay my bills, not be crying all the time about bills. I want to be able to pay them. You know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Got a question.
Okay.
I got a question.
Yes.
Okay. How? Okay, I'm gonna just since I know you.
Okay.
I see you from a distance. How do I recognize you?
By the way I walk and talk.
What you just said, by the way you walk. By the way you walk. And that's how people will recognize us as far as the Bible goes.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I've been listening to y'all for a minute, and I love the conversation that's been going on because it's all about the way that you walk. It's all about who you follow. And like Loretta,
yeah.
I've been listening to you. It's all about who you follow now. And believe me, they will recognize you. The Bible says they'll recognize us by our fruit. But they will also recognize, they say, wow, they used, like you were just saying, they used to be a little different. What's different about them? Like Kathy was saying, as you keep on studying the word and the word gets into you, people will recognize the difference in you. But more than anything, they'll come to understand that you're no longer following that life that you was following before, but you're following a totally different life. We're not perfect, no. But people will recognize you according to the way that you walk. Okay, that's enough. I'm tired of talking.
And that is so true. I was in Walmart in a line, and I know this man from Adam. And he just walked up to me and said, oh, you're a Christian, aren't you? I said, yes. I said, are you a Christian? He said, yeah, I want to be. I said, well, all you got to do is read the Bible. And we have a Bible class on Wednesdays. You can call this number. And I gave it to him. Now, I never saw the man again, so I don't know if he called or not. But I don't know why, what made him walk up to me and say that.
Okay.
Because I know I got a disposition. My face say everything. I can't hide nothing. My face tell you exactly what I'm thinking when you saying something to me. And usually I look like, I don't want to hear what you're talking about, and don't say nothing to me. But I didn't get better with that. That's what I'm going to say. I humbled myself. People can approach me. You used to come approach me. I'd be like, no, just stay away from me. Leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I can engage now.
Good. See, that's a blessing. That's what I'm telling you, y'all, that humbling, it is so helping me. I mean, even with things that when me and my husband disagree, it is humbling me. If I'm wrong, I go back in there and I'm like, look, baby, I didn't mean that. I want you to understand this. You know, being humble is what God wants us all. We can't come before him unless we're humble. Working on that, and he's still working on me and probably be working on me for the rest of my life.
You and all the rest of us.
Yes, I'm serious because, you know, when you walk a certain way for a long time, people expect for you. And when I don't respond, or I can see them looking at me. But I have to think like this. When I walk this earth now, my walk is about God. My walk is about his authority over my life, not what I can do, but what can he allow me to do, you know? And so, So, you know, like I said, it's a learning process, and it's not something that happens overnight. But we have to understand that, first of all, it's our attitude. And then it's our opportunity that we have to represent God or to go out there and tell somebody else about God. Just like Kathy was saying, you know, I don't believe in forcing what I believe on nobody, because I always tell my daughter, you know, I'm not trying to force what I believe on you, but I know you see the change. You know, and I don't hound her about what she do or the choices that she make, and nobody else for that matter. But I try to make sure that when I look at somebody from now at this point in my life, if I look at somebody and they doing negative stuff, instead of me talking behind their back or pointing the finger at them, I try to look at myself and see what I need to do for me to get closer to God, for me to be a representation of our Heavenly Father. I'm not into the gossip. I will cut them off in a minute. Let them know, look, if that's what you want to do, we can pick another topic of discussion. I have grown to the point that those type of things, I don't need them to fulfill my life. You know, I'm getting full of all this glory and all this mercy and grace that I got coming from God. That's the way I want to walk now.
This is the way I want to talk now. You know, so again, this right here is the opportunity these people were given. They were invited. They were given an opportunity. After they got the invitation, they still sent them to let them know everything was ready. So not only did you get an invitation, but the master is sending a servant out there to make sure that you guys know that it's time for you to come, and you still decline the invitation. And that's the way it is in the world. We can go around and talk about God and our Father and Jesus all we want. But until that person accepts that invitation, it's none and void. You know, because we understand this, that God don't force himself on us with all the power he has. He waits till we accept him.
Yeah, he gives us a choice.
Yes, and you got that choice every day that you wake up.
Yeah,
exactly.
And opportunity.
You have that choice and that opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, every day that you wake up. And I'm telling you, it took me forever. But you know what? The thing that I found the most peace in, and that's why I still do it to today, was reading scripture. Even before I really felt that I gave my life to Christ, reading that Bible, making that connection with God every day, that's what brought my mind in. That word is what changed my heart, my attitude, and I took advantage of that opportunity. And then getting into a Bible class, when I started Bible class, the teachers was Pastor Janice and Jonathan, Deacon, I think.
Yeah.
Back then, I can't remember. That's been a few years ago, y'all. I'm up there now in age. I done graduated and stuff a little bit. I can't remember too far back. But anyway, what I'm saying is I saw people struggling in their own ways with their own problems, but we were still able to come together and encourage one another to try God. That invitation was extended to me, and I'm extending it to whoever coming behind me, you know, that this is real. This is my life. This is how I live. This is how I want to be remembered. I don't want to go down as not trying. I don't want to be a teacher who's not trying to live by the word, You know, I want this to be a part of my everyday life. And so that's what got me to start off reading the word. And now I can't make up my bed until I've sat in it and had that time with God every day. So, like I said, this invitation, people don't understand, and this is what the parable is about, is this invitation is out there for everybody. But the only one to be chosen is the one to choose him.
Hey, Colorado.
I'm learning, you all. Trust me, I am learning just as long, right along with you guys. I don't have the answers to everything, but I got a pastor back there that I feel that can't answer anything that we can answer, and that's a blessing. You know, and, you know, when you see somebody who lived for God, it encourages you, you know.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. Like you said, that peace comes from the relationship I know I have with Christ. The Catholic was talking about peace. You know, and it don't matter what goes on around in this world. Pardon me?
So it didn't make any difference as to who was invited.
No. Because as we read further, we're going to see the other half that was invited. We haven't made it to that part yet. So it didn't make no difference who was invited. It was about who accepted God's invitation.
Right.
Amen?
Wait, hold on. You say it didn't make a difference who was invited.
No.
In the end, it don't make a difference because the kingdom of God is open to everybody.
Okay, I mean, with that, I thought we were talking in reference to this story. Okay.
Wait a minute. We only two-thirds of the way through the story. We got another third to read.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. See, right now we're just at the point where all the people with invitations have declined. Your bougie people, your dignitaries, your friends and family who think they're privileged enough they can turn you down, you know? So that's where we at now in our people that was invited to this banquet. Okay, now let me see. Okay, now it says, I want to ask another question. How can people who are so mistaken about their own destiny be sure of their acceptance by God?
Repeat that question.
How can people who are so mistaken by their own destiny be sure of their acceptance by God? It has
I can't
to do with
being sure for that.
Pardon me? It has to do with verse 15.
I say I don't see them being sure. They shouldn't be of their acceptance, because if you're not doing what's, I can't see them accepting.
I thought if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I mean, I think we're hoping and we're praying that we make it to heaven, and trying to live righteous and accepting God and being humble to God. That's what our prayer is that we make it to heaven. But I don't know if we're 100% guaranteed we're going to make it there unless by accepting and...
Go ahead. Yeah,
you know,
go ahead. Okay, I feel that if you're mistaken about your destiny, you can't be so sure.
Right.
See, I know that when I die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So
okay.
When I'm taking this to make sure that I go there. Even though I fall
short
believing. Of his glory,
mm-hmm.
Even though you fall short of his glory, God still loves you. You know, that's
right.
Where you have to learn how to, that's how God taught me to learn people past what I dislike about them. Because just because I don't do everything that God wants me to do don't mean that I ain't going to go to heaven. I might deny myself the treasure being stored in heaven.
One of the little jewels.
Yeah, you know, but I want all the jewels, so I'm trying to do it right. you know.
I'm on your team.
But what I'm saying is, so even though we don't do everything right and we still sin, we still have that opportunity. And that's what part we're at right now. We have this opportunity every day we get up to, if you put a wedge between you and God, you can close that gap every day. Every day you start off with a clean slate.
You get another chance to do better.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and it's your choice to go right or left.
Right.
Exactly. You know, so that's why, you know, you'll see somebody doing wrong and they live right beside somebody that's doing right and they live. Because God's still giving you the opportunity to take his invitation.
Yeah.
I appreciate his steadfastness that he can wait like he has, because it took me a while to regroup to go in this direction I'm going now. Because I just kind of always did what I wanted to do, how I wanted to do it, until somebody said, it ain't about you. It's about the Lord. And the way he said it and the emphasis caught my attention. I mean, it literally caught my attention. And I'm like, okay, now you got to modify some of your stuff. It ain't you. And, and I've been trying to make the modifications ever since.
And that's what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
just because, you know, we sit in church every Sunday and we sit in every Bible class, it's about what you do when you get out of that class. It's about your attitude and the opportunities that you have every day that your eyes open.
I remember back in the day when I first got saved, and I ran into a friend who said he lost his salvation. That confused the crap out of me because I thought, you know, those that come to me, John, you know, 5:37, I'll in no way cast out. And I knew all those verses that assured me of my salvation. What I found out is he was saved, and because he can't lose his salvation because you don't possess it. Jesus saved you. So it's not something that you even have. It's something that has you. And so he couldn't lose it. And what Jesus taught me was he's struggling in his Christian growth, and he's not equating the two just right. Salvation, once you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, guaranteed Jesus saved you. So it's guaranteed. Those that the Father have given me, John 10, I've lost none. So he can't lose us. What happens is our Christian growth, are we growing? And Jesus is the one that's actually working on us. In Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will continue it to completion. And so what we're talking about is two different things. Salvation is one thing, and Christian growth is another. And those things I had to understand because I kept, every time a preacher opened the door to the church, I got saved again. And Jesus finally taught me, you don't have to keep doing that. What you have to do is when I teach you this word, that's what he started doing. He would teach me a word, and then he would teach me that I have to do that. Even though it was completely against me, I was totally opposite of what he was teaching me. He taught me that it's as simple as you're going right, I need you to walk left. So what I had to do was learn to follow the word wherever it took me. For instance, you know my favorite verse, seek to lead a quiet life. Mind your own business. Work with your own hands. You'll get the respect of those who are not saved, and you won't be dependent on anybody. And so light of the world, salt of the earth. I think that was from Deacon Tate's class, the Upside Down Kingdom. That's what we are. We are to be lights attract people. Lighthouses guide ships safely without crashing into the shore. So light does a lot for people. And when we're not light, that's a problem. Our witness, see, Satan works to destroy our witnesses, our witness. And so when we make the invitation for people to come, if we are the example of what Christianity can do for you, do people really want that? And so that's you know, but that's a whole different story. The invitation that he's talking about here, this is real more metamorphical stuff here. What he's talking about is the invitation. This is some deep stuff. He was talking about the invitation was made to the Jews, and the Jews had accepted that Messiah was coming. Even Mary and Martha told Jesus, we know the Messiah is coming, and at the last day he's going to raise everybody up. And then you had everybody was expecting the Messiah to come. But when Jesus showed up, and all those who had been invited to accept the Messiah when he comes, well, they started making excuses and going away. It's like when we witness to people about Jesus, okay, and we'll be doing that until he raptures us or we just go home with the personal rapture. We're witnessing for Jesus. And our witness is to tell people that Jesus is coming back. They said Jesus was coming. Well, he's come, and now he's ascended into heaven at the right hand of the Father, waiting for the order to come get us. right? So our job is to extend the invitation to as many as will take it, okay, as many as will listen, and to keep planting those seeds, keep pouring water, but only God can give the increase. Only the Holy Spirit can convict somebody of sin. Only the Holy Spirit can make them say, what must we do to be saved? But we have to, like Peter, plant the seed. We have to, like Peter, pour the water. And then the Holy Spirit takes the crowd and says, men, brethren, what must we do? And then we can tell them what they need to do. That's what happened in Acts chapter 16 after Paul and Silas, the jail thing happened, and they spoke the word of God to them. And they said, well, what must we do to be saved? And they told them, believe in Jesus, and you and your whole house will be saved. And that's what happened. And so that's, but like you say, the excuses that that Jesus was getting from those who were invited, they knew they were invited. And they said, we're going to be there. But they knew when they said they were going to be there, they wasn't. And like you were saying, they showed a great contempt for the one who invited them because they felt like, hey, you know, I done bought these oxen, I got to go check them out. I mean, really, that's like saying I bought this car, I got to go check it out. You didn't check it out before you bought it? Okay. I got this sealed, and I got to go see it. Oh, so you paid for it. You don't even know if it's there. But you bought you might have bought some swamp land in Florida. You didn't check it out before. See, so all of those were super frivolous excuses. And we get them today when we tell people about Jesus. You know, I've been thinking about it, but, you know, I don't know which one the right one, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Muslims, I don't know. You know, but all those are excuses. But like you say, persistence pays off. Just keep the seed there. Keep the seed watered with prayer that they accept the seed, and somewhere down the road, you know, prayerfully they'll come in. Yeah. So, yeah, this lesson brings up a lot of things, but it's really deep. Israel was invited to accept the Messiah, and when John the Baptist said, he's here, they reneged. And so the Lord went after us, the Gentiles. And so now we are the ones making the invitation to not only hard-hearted Jews who haven't accepted Christ as the Lord and Savior, but also Gentiles as well who haven't accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And, of course, in the end, we'll see. Okay, and that's the end of my sermon.
All right, thank you, Pastor. Thank you much.
You're welcome.
Wow.
Okay, now, as Pastor was saying, all these excuses, Jesus' story centered around another feast. The host sent out invitations, okay? And all these excuses were lame, frivolous, and it says, okay, so after the master hears all these excuses, he gets angry at this point. So the next scenario comes in after we read chapters 21 through 24 of the lesson. So can somebody read chapters 21 through 24? Mm-hmm. Yep, Luke 14.
The verses?
Yeah.
Okay, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Okay. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper.
Okay.
I looked up bidden. I forgot what it meant.
Bidden means to invite or to be called.
Okay.
So
okay, yeah,
we're talking
yeah,
about
right.
The invited people. And
I looked it up.
Means, okay, all right.
Go ahead.
And because I had to look it up too, Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, and so now it says the host is angry when the servants reported that none of the invitees were coming to the meal. So he ordered the servant to go out into the streets and invite the poor, crippled, the lame, and the blind to feast. These were people who were not normally invited to such feasts. Where there was still room for more, the master told the servant to go out into the highways and along the hedges and invite everyone he could find to his feast. This part of the lesson is about decision. See, this man had set out this elaborate feast, and even though he was angry, he was still generous enough to make it so everybody could have some. You know,
is that the reason, or he just wanted his house to be full?
Wait a minute. Let me get to that, because I was trying to figure out was it again. It had to be generosity, because you didn't. Didn't want the food to go to waste.
I think it was more embarrassment, sounds like. And you didn't want to be embarrassed. You had all that food. I mean, no, I'm not.
Okay.
I may not be right. That's just how I felt. I'm like, you know, you can like, I bought all this stuff and nobody showed up. Somebody go eat this. We go party some kind of way. And that's what I thought his thing
okay.
was.
So let me read on and see what it says here. It says,
yes,
here
ma'am.
We have a picture of a Jewish nation of Jesus' day that a privilege to hear the gospel first. When the nation as a whole rejected Christ, others were given the opportunity to receive the good news and experience for themselves. So see, when all his people, his dignitaries, and all those he thought highly of declined, that he gave the opportunity for anybody to sit down and feast. So I think it was, I think it's generosity. I'm not sure. But it says, is it possible that in some of our lands today, people assume that God accepts them simply because the gospel has become so common, while others in general pagan countries are ready to receive the gospel with eagerness. See, so the people out there that weren't invited, they were eager to come in.
Okay.
Despite their situation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would be
okay.
too.
One lesson here is that as Christians, we are called to go out and share the gospel with all people. Some will not receive
yeah.
it. But we are to move on in the task of evangelism to others mm-hmm. who will. Jesus concluded by indicating that those who reject the gospel now may not be given another opportunity to respond
right.
in faith. Anyone can receive the gospel invitation and enjoy its blessing. So that's why they were given the opportunity to eat off this platter, this platter, this feast, because that was the invitation from God.
Mm.
It's like being invited into the kingdom. Just because this person is homeless don't mean that he don't have the same opportunity to come
yes.
to God just
Thank
like
you.
Somebody in a mansion. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it says anyone can receive the gospel invitation and enjoy its blessing, but for some it soon may be too late if they do not take advantage of the offer when it is extended to them. Our task as Christians is to encourage all to receive Christ before it's too late. You know, and so and that's why I feel that this was generosity, you know, because he could have been like, well, forget it. I don't want these kind of people in my house.
Yeah,
you know,
well, I always trying to get them people on 19th and Visitor to come.
Okay.
Yeah, I even put a little bribe, a little. Once you leave church, we going to lunch or we can go to brunch or whatever. We going to eat after church. I just whatever it takes to get them there. That's my thing.
Yeah.
Hopefully summer sink in. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And see, right here, it said like the servant told the master of the house, he got angry. But he took that anger into something positive and opened his door to anybody. Like you said, people that wouldn't normally get in his house, sit down and eat.
Mm-hmm.
And with saying that,
but it's always a plus to be invited to something. I just don't like being invited at the last minute.
Right. I mean, but if you get an invitation, you know, and look, if you're sitting here and you're hungry and somebody invites you to a feast, you ain't
gonna
care what time
to the house.
That's right. So my thing is this. You know, I feel that this whole story represents our invitation that we got to come to God. And now that we have, you know, the information and the abilities, it says.
And accept the invitation.
Yeah. It says that this lesson this week shows us how we are as Christians, having experienced the good news of Jesus, how to go out and invite others into the kingdom. We want everyone to taste the feast that is prepared for them by our Lord. And we're supposed to do it in a kind and loving manner. Amen.
Amen.
And then after reading this scripture too, I went to look up the least of these. And I found out that term originated in Matthew 25.
Right.
Yes. 31 through 46. And see, the least of these refers to those in a variety of needy situations. They include the hungry, the thirsty, the impoverished, the sick.
And outsiders.
Yeah, all the outsiders that would never be invited. But when he said, when you do something for the least of these, you're also doing it for me.
Yes.
So, that's why I took it as a generosity thing of the master of the house rather than just because. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am.
Because, you know, some millionaires, they don't care what they have. They'll throw it away before they give it to anybody else.
Mm.
That's how some people are.
Yes.
Operation. Yep.
I go like what they say in the Bible. It'll be easier to put a camel through eye of a needle. Yeah.
So you all, let's try to answer these questions right quick.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, question number one. What had Jesus observed as he watched the people coming in?
I had under attitude.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Mom.
And observance, Luke 14, verse 7, Jesus had already observed that the people at the banquet had been acting to promote themselves. As they entered the room, they had been scrambling for the places of honor at the banquet table. The most honored places were those closest to the host. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
He's a host? Okay, yeah. Okay.
Okay, any questions, any comments? Okay. How did Jesus, question number two, how did Jesus say they should act when attending such an event?
I started in the next paragraph, but I started that he said.
Okay. Well,
I need to start at the beginning.
Yeah.
Where do you start at?
It could be third. Go ahead.
I mean, I just put he'll start with the beginning. A wrong choice.
Okay, yeah,
start.
See what you got. To see if that's it.
Because I had he said
a little different.
Right. I had he said that when a person was invited. That's where I started. Okay. He said that when a person was invited to a wedding feast, he should not assume that he should go to the best seat. For the host might have invited someone more observing of that seat.
Continue. Amen.
That's not yet. Okay, thank you.
Okay, and question number three. What principle did Jesus set forth regarding being exalted?
Nobody? Okay. Well, down there we're at the right choice, but I started where if the host wants him to be in an honored position, he will come and invite the guest to sit in the better seat. In the process, it would be publicly seen he deserves special recognition instead of being embarrassed. He will be properly exalted before the other attendees. Amen?
Okay, amen. And it says, Jesus then verbalized a very important life principle. Whosoever exalted himself shall be abased. And abased means to be humble.
Yes.
And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Do you see that?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
All right.
Okay. Question number four. What lesson about self-exaltation can we learn from this?
I'll take that one.
Okay.
And it says, in spiritual terms, it is not the one who exalts himself who is truly honored, but rather the one whom God exalts. Amen.
Amen.
Where did you read from, Oliver?
Right, because I don't have none of that.
Okay, that's on page 77.
No. You got a different book than us.
Right. We have a teacher's book.
It should be in the right choice.
The right choice. Okay, how did you start that off with what? How did you start the sentence off?
I started off in spiritual terms.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to find. In spiritual terms.
That's the one who exalts himself.
It's the third paragraph.
The third paragraph?
In the wedding feast situation, it was not one who honored himself who was truly honored.
Right, okay.
Okay, and then it say in spiritual terms.
Okay, wait a minute. No, I don't have that.
I thought it would have been the second where it says self-exaltation.
Yeah, Jesus then verbalized a very important life principle. Whosoever exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted.
That's it.
Right, that was number three. Because number three question, what principle did Jesus set forth regarding being exalted? So that was number three.
Okay, wait a minute then.
The student book, it's on page 30 in the third paragraph after a right choice. But it doesn't start with in spiritual terms. It starts with what Jesus was saying.
Okay.
Okay, I see that.
In the student book.
Jesus was saying that it is not the one who exalts himself who is truly honored, but rather the one whom God exalts.
Yep, that's the answer.
Yep, that's
okay. Okay, well, let me redo. I just want to mark it so I know where it's going to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
I still don't see it. Eric, where were you?
Yeah, we're down in the last, it's on the right-hand side, and the last paragraph, and it's about almost midway the paragraph. It says, Jesus was saying. You see it? Okay, one, two, three, four.
Okay.
The fourth sentence is in the last paragraph.
Page 30.
Yes, ma'am. The last paragraph, the fourth sentence down. I mean, the fourth line down. The fourth line down. You see what I said? Jesus was saying that is, it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what we study. That's number four. And it goes down to, where did it go to? Not to seek public acclaim, I think is what it was. Oh, where are we? Yeah. The children is
okay.
Very easy.
All right,
okay.
Got you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, no, it ends at God exalts. That's where it ends at, that sentence.
Yeah.
Okay.
The one whom God exalts.
Thank you, Sister Deaconess Welch.
All right, you're fine.
No. I mean, sincerely, for the answer, I'm saying thank you seriously.
Okay.
Because I had something different. I had started when Jesus then verbalized. I was up there.
Right.
Yeah, and
that
was okay.
Number three. Yep. So question number five. What statement did one of the guests make to Jesus after this?
Okay. You got it, Mother, or somebody, or Sister Freeman? I don't know if mine is right.
Yeah, what answer, what question are we on?
Number five. Well, I had, no, wait, see what they have.
Okay.
It's on page 31.
Is it under where it says decisions, new invitations, Luke 14, where it says when the servant returned and told the master about the excuse?
I thought it was this particular guest did not understand. That's where I thought it started.
It's under Luke
14, 15. Right.
Yep. It was upon hearing this instruction that someone present spoke up with a pronouncement of blessing of his own.
Whoa. Okay, I see that. Now it starts with, it was upon hearing this instruction that someone present spoke up with a pronouncement of blessing of his own. Okay. See, I was right up under the next sentence. This particular guest did not understand.
I'm looking at that one, too, because it says, what statement did one of the guests make? And the statement was,
this particular guest did not understand what Jesus had been teaching. Expression meant to impress Jesus. He seems to have connected in his mind the idea of being honored and blessed at the present feast with their presumed employment of the feast in the kingdom of God. That's
right.
That's what happened. Yeah.
I think it's it would be on Luke. These say 40-50, so it says Jesus is asked the question asked the question. I think it would be that first paragraph though, where it says Jesus followed his teaching on humility.
Right.
With the
I have that for five.
Yeah, isn't that, or we're not on five yet?
Yes, I
yeah, that's the beginning.
Yeah, that's the beginning of it.
Yeah, that's
quiet.
The beginning of it. Yeah.
I still don't see where
you
are.
That's the beginning.
I'm with you, Mother. I'm kind of.
Do you have blessing, Eric? Do you have blessing, and then Luke 14 and 15.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that's where the answer is.
Well, no, I got where she read it from. I saw that. But, I thought it was number where it says this particular guest. But they're telling me differently. And I'm not complaining. I'm just trying to hear what they're coming up with so I don't know how to respond to what's going on.
What lesson about self-exaltation can we learn? That was the question, right? No. What statement did one of the guests make to Jesus after this? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And it says, Jesus followed his teachings on humility with the teaching directed to those who host
dinner.
He told them that they should not limit their invitations to those who have the ability to reciprocate, but that he should include those who are financially unable to do so, for they would be blessed and rewarded by God himself at the resurrection.
Okay.
That's it right there. The poem. That last little part is with it too.
Right.
Okay, where do you see where it says the guest said any of that?
It's on page 31, Eric.
I'm on 31, but what I'm saying is, where does it say that the guest said anything pertaining to what you're saying? Because this is saying Jesus followed his teachings.
It said at the end, it said it was upon hearing this instruction that someone present spoke up with a pronouncement of blessing of his own.
Right.
Okay.
That's the
answer. Oh, I see it now. I got you now. I see it now. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not disputing what y'all saying. I just needed to know where it was at.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, question number 6. What was his understanding concerning the kingdom of heaven? And they talking about the particular guest that made that statement.
I guess the very next paragraph there, it says, this particular
there's a
guest,
hint in his statement.
Huh?
The one that say there's a hint in his statement that he assumed every outward.
No, before that, at the beginning, this particular guest.
Right.
Where's
you have that in your book? The first paragraph.
Let me look before I say something.
Yeah,
he
did.
Yeah, Eric, you had that one for the answer number 5.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Sister Johnson. Thank you. Okay, so the one on the bottom is 5. Man, I really messed up these questions this week.
Yeah, I did too.
Do you want the whole thing?
Right now, I don't have my glasses on.
I know.
I'm sitting up here in Ann Arbor, and I can't see nothing hardly.
I got mine on. I still don't see where you are.
I like that one. Thank you.
Not by yourself.
So number 6 would be, is it like in the middle where it says such an understanding leads us to think, or you want that whole thing where the particular guest did not understand?
Right.
Okay.
Right, that's what the... Yeah.
So that's number 6. You want that red?
Yes.
Okay, so it says, this particular guest did not understand what Jesus had been teaching, and his statement sounds like a pious expression meant to impress Jesus. He seems to have connected in his mind the idea of being honored and blessed at this present feast with their presumed enjoyment of the feast in the kingdom of God. He was carried away by the occasion. There is a hint in his statement that he assumed every outwardly righteous Jew would automatically be welcomed into the kingdom.
Right. Amen.
You want that other part, such that understanding?
No.
Okay.
Now, what was that?
That was question number six.
Number six.
Three.
Okay. Now, question number seven. How did Jesus portray salvation in his parables?
Page 31, the last paragraph on the left.
Okay.
In this parable, Jesus used the idea of a great supper to portray salvation, which results, of course, in becoming a part of God's kingdom. The invitations to the supper represent the invitation God has given to people to become part of his family through his son, Jesus. And since it was clear to Jesus that the man who had just spoken did not understand salvation, he specifically addressed him in response to his comment about eating in the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Eating in the kingdom. Explain that, my sister, if you will.
Okay.
Or Pastor O, somebody.
What?
The part of eating in the kingdom. Eating in the kingdom.
Okay.
I have an idea. I just want to know if that's right.
Okay. The eating in the kingdom. The eating is accepting God's invitation.
Okay, the participation. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Invitation. Okay, I got you. I just wanted to make sure we were on the same page.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, number eight. What happened to the master in Jesus' parable after he invited a large group of guests to dinner?
They had excuses, and it says, as the servant went from person to person to let them know it was time for dinner to begin, he received many excuses as to why they could not attend after all. Every excuse reeked of insincerity. Each person indicated a preoccupation with other things that they considered more important than the dinner.
Amen.
So where did you start? Where were you starting? Where did she start?
Excuses.
If those invited were someone, wait a minute. I don't.
So number eight is in excuses.
Yes.
It's the question.
And she started at the beginning of that paragraph?
Yes. As the servant, and it ends at the word dinner.
As the servant. Where? The heck is that at?
To end it up where, I'm sorry?
At the word dinner. Important than the dinner.
Important than the dinner.
You have it? As the servant went from person to person to let them know it was time for the dinner to begin, they received many excuses to why they could not attend. After all, every excuse reeked of insincerity. Each person indicated a preoccupation with other things that they considered more important than the dinner. You don't have that? It should be on page 32.
Okay.
The last question was on the at the end of 31. I'm guessing. You know that we have a different book.
I have a different book.
It should say as the servant under excuses.
Yeah.
18 through 31. As the servant under excuses. as the servant went from person to person.
Oh, okay. I'm moving up. The page is over. I thought we was on the next page.
I'm just guessing,
yeah.
So
okay, well, wait a minute. Where was the answer found so I'll know, please?
It's excuses 14, 18 through 20 on page 31. It says,
okay. 14.
Where did you start reading?
It says, as the servant went from person to person.
Uh-huh.
To let them know it was time for the dinner to begin. He received many excuses as to why they could not attend after all. Every excuse reeked of insincerity. Each person indicated a preoccupation with other things that he considered more important than the dinner. The first one said he had bought a piece of ground and needed to go see it. The second said he had brought 5 yoke of oxen and needed to test them. The third said he could not come because he had just married.
Right.
Wow.
Okay.
I have altogether different answer than that.
Before we didn't read that far, though. It stopped at dinner.
Oh, yeah, it should have stopped at dinner, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So should it go on down?
Yeah, well, that's where... In my book, it starts as ask the servant and stops at dinner.
Okay.
But, to get the whole scenario, you do have to read it all.
Okay. But can I ask you something?
What?
Just the plain answer, though, was up till dinner, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. That's all I needed. That part. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, question number 9. What steps did he then take to fill his banquet hall with people? We're talking about the master of the house. So,
he devised another plan, but then he had my man go out there out to the neighborhood and go pick up the people.
Okay, but it's under new invitation.
Yeah, that's where I was at.
Yeah, 14.
Okay.
Okay, it goes to... this is...
Go ahead, Ms. Kathy.
It starts in
21 through 22.
Yeah.
When the servant returned and told his master about the excuses he had received, the master became angry and devised another plan. The dinner was ready and time was now of the essence.
All right.
Yep. It says, go out and quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. He said, yep. So he made a decision to invite everybody to expand his guest list.
But see, the passage just stopped short of what you're saying, Loretta. So that's even Kathy stopped short of what you're reading. So we got to get
right. I'm not just book.
Huh?
I have a teacher's book, Mother.
I know
that's why I don't know where it is in your book. Because in the teacher's book, it's marked for us. The answer is already there. But when you guys read it, sometimes your answer is longer than the answer that we have in the teacher's edition. But it's the same concept. You might need to read that whole paragraph just for you to understand it. I understand it because it's already outlined for me.
Not fair.
You know what I'm saying? It's already answered for me.
Right, exactly. You got the correct answer.
But the student don't have to always understand or know what you have. So
I know it. That's why I try to give you the heading of what it's under. Because I can't tell what page yours is on or anything. So if we go through this book again, I think the teachers also might need students book as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can be on the same page.
Well, we all need to get the book.
The student book is slightly different.
Yeah.
Well, this is kind of a...
It just gives a little more. You can read it until you understand it, because it goes on and it says, if those invited were so unappreciative that they would offer terribly lame excuses for not coming, invitations would go to those who would respond easily and be grateful for them.
Be grateful for them. See, that's what I'm saying. In order for it's not underlined in my book, but in order for you all to get an understanding, you have to read past what the answer is. You know what I'm saying? But as long as your response includes the answer that's outlined in my book, it's still right.
Yes.
No matter how far it goes.
But let me ask you this. When I answer a question, if it's at a certain point and I should stop, just stop me, because I don't want to go past. I want to know what the exact precise answer is. That's what I be trying to achieve, what's the precise answer.
Well, that is the answer.
No. It's what you're saying, Kathy, there's some add-on. She has a line. She has it where it stops, the exact answer. That's all I need is the exact answer.
The exact answer in the teacher's edition starts at when the servant and ends at he said.
Thank you. See, that's what I'm talking about. All that other stuff, that's something different.
Yeah.
I just need the exact precise answer, and that's what she just gave me. Thank you.
Now, let's get this last question in before we run out of time.
Yes,
oh, ma'am.
Sure.
Yeah, it's almost 8.
Question number 10. How many people today, much like the Israelites of Jesus' day, in their response to him?
How many people today, much like the Israelites
of Jesus' day, in their response to him?
I had the last sentence.
That's it.
The last sentence?
The last paragraph.
It's the last paragraph.
Oh, okay.
It's the
that's
last
cool.
paragraph.
Okay.
Eric, it starts at just. Can you hear me?
No, my last paragraph starts at the master's concluding statement.
Okay.
No.
Do you see just as the guest who pronounced? Do you see that?
Say that again.
Just as the guest who pronounced the blessingness.
Okay. I don't have that, young lady.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Keela, are you in the teacher's book, too?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so what do you have as an answer?
Okay,
expansion and exclusion.
Say that again, please.
Right. It's under the expansion and exclusions, Luke 14,
okay.
20. Okay, it's the last paragraph in our
right.
under that one.
Okay.
You see,
go
it
ahead.
Says, just as the guest.
No,
eyes don't say
just
that.
As the guest is
oh,
not
eyes
does
not say that.
No.
Well, can
yeah,
somebody
okay.
just
no,
read what it says?
Okay.
It makes
it says, just as the guest who pronounced the blessedness of those who eat in the kingdom of God did not understand how to get there himself. So there are many today who speak of God and heaven without an understanding of how to be sure of going to be with God after this life. We should willingly reach out the good news to everyone we can, and it is a message of utmost urgency.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
We don't have none of that.
We must be compelled. That's what
okay,
that word means, to act with urgency.
Nope.
Okay. Yeah, we have none of that in our book.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so the expansion. Okay, go ahead.
That concludes our lesson.
Okay.
And our lesson this week, I said it just shows how we as Christians have experienced the good news of Jesus and that we are to go out and invite others into the kingdom of God. We want everybody to taste the feast that is prepared for them by our Lord. We are to do this in a loving manner with all we meet. So that's a part of accepting God's invitation. I thank you all for participating in this discussion. And you know, this is a new book, and we're going to go through it together. And there's no wrong answer. You know, we have the answers set up for us because we're supposed to teach the lesson. But there is no wrong answer whether you add something to it or not. As long as the answer is in what you read, I'm accepting that because you might have to read a little further to get the understanding of the part that we have. Amen.
Amen.
Come on.
All right.
All right. Anybody got any questions?
No question, but I want to tell you thank you. You are very explanatory in your lesson.
Thank you kindly. Okay.
Yeah. I got to ask you if that's the right word, you know.
Loretta, right, okay. You did a beautiful job. It's just a difference in the two books. But you did all
right,
excellent.
Thank you all.
You sure did.
I said, we're still all learning together. And that's the best thing about it.
Amen.
I like it like that.
It encourages us to continue to do what's right and try to do what's right. Amen.
Johnson said we take the class we never graduate from. I like that.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
I like
we're always
that.
Advancing, but we never graduate.
Right.
I don't think I want to graduate.
Yeah. This is better than being in study hall anyway.
Okay. Good plan.
Okay. Good class. Good class. Good discussion. But I got a chance to, because I have both books, and I got a chance to see now the confusion because the teacher's book literally says something different than what the student book says.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that makes that, but the answer is the same, the content, the context. The answer is the same, but the books are different. And so to get everybody on the same page, I'm going to straighten that problem out. We're going to put everybody in the same book. We're going to get rid of the teacher book, and we're going to go to the adult Bible class book, and then everybody will be on the same page, and we won't have that confusion anymore.
Okay.
So, but worked our way through it. It was a good class, and I think we got – you know, that the God's invitation, we should accept it. God made his invitation to the Israelites that Jesus is coming. You're invited. John the Baptist says he was the servant who would go out and say, okay, the banquet is ready, okay? And then the people started, you know, how do we know he's God's son? Do a miracle. Do this, do that. If you ain't Jesus, you know, all of that stuff. Will a prophet come from Galilee? Can any good thing come from Galilee? You know, so they didn't accept the invitation. If you read Acts, you'll see where Paul says, since you deem yourselves or count yourselves unworthy of God's offer of salvation, we turned to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles were glad to receive it. So the Gentiles, the lame, the halt are paralyzed people. So you got the lame, you got the halt, you got the blind, and you got people of all kinds. Remember in Matthew 8, Jesus healed who? A leper. A leper. Could you imagine a leper walking up to a priest? But this leper walked up to Jesus and said, Lord, if you will, you can heal me. And Jesus not only touched him and hugged him, but he healed him. And I'm sure that just tripped everybody out. Okay, but he accepted the invitation. Those kinds of people, when Acts is a real vivid demonstration of it. The Jews, who, if you read Romans chapter 11, I mean, they were supposed to be God's vanguard, right? They're going to tell everybody else on the planet about how to worship God, how to pray to God, and all that good stuff. And then when Jesus came, they reneged on the invitation, started coming up with all kinds of excuses. And so the Lord turned to the Gentiles, and it's clear in Romans chapter 11 that that's who God is going after. So we are what's considered in the Bible, or called in the Bible, labeled the remnant of men, as James, Jesus' brother, talked about in Acts chapter 15 when he was trying to bring the rest of them along on just believing in Jesus. And the Gentiles not having to become Jews to be saved. And so James quoted a passage of Scripture that says, and the remnant of men shall come in. And that's us. That's us today. And so we are the ones now saying, like John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven is coming back. Okay, it's not behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand or near, but the kingdom of heaven has been here, went to heaven, and it's coming back. And you need to get ready. And people will treat us the same way they did those people. You can preach Jesus, be so happy about Jesus, you know him, you love him. They act like this kid. Y'all know I'm doing work on my new hot rod, right? So I posted it in the hot rod pages on Facebook, and I gave praise to Jesus for giving me the brains and the finances to be able to do that. And some guy got mad because I praised Jesus for it. He told me I did the work. I'm like, dude, you don't even know me, okay? He got mad at me because I want to give Jesus credit for doing the work. But what he's really mad at is Satan did not want me, because the way I posted it was undercover, but out in the open. I made it totally personal, and I wasn't trying to preach to anybody. I was just giving praise and thanks for what Jesus did. And so a lot of people, if five of them hated on it, 100 of them loved it. And they stepped up, and they was ready to proclaim they Christians too. So there'll be people like that. Now, who knows? Later on, that man will accept. I always wonder about the man, the rich young ruler. Did he one day return and accept Jesus' invitation? Of course, we won't know till we get to heaven. But we know the invitation was made, and he rode off sad. But we don't know if that was the end. He could have heard of the resurrection and got one of those 500 witnesses who saw Jesus after he rose from the dead before he ascended to heaven. Okay, maybe one of them got to him and he said, I figured he was somebody. That's why I went to him for eternal life. But since he got up from the dead, I'm all in. But we don't know that. So when we speak to people about Jesus, we just have to do what Jesus did. What the disciples did, the apostles did, they preached it, if folks accepted it, they was happy and rejoiced with them. But if not, I specifically remember when Paul made his first appeal on his first missionary journey to the Jews and how they rejected the crap out of him. And right. he almost broke down crying and saying, be careful, you scoffers, lest the scriptures come true concerning you, that God's going to do something in your day that even if the Lord himself said it, you wouldn't believe it. And, of course, that is exactly what was happening, and they didn't believe it. But then you look at the woman at the well, right? She brought a whole town to Jesus. So, some people will, some people won't. But anyway, y'all can blame this sermon on Deaconess Loretta Welch, because if she hadn't taught the lesson so well, I wouldn't have nothing to talk about. So, but I forgive her for being such a good teacher. So,
we're not blaming Sister Loretta. We blaming Pastor O, who wanted to talk.
Yeah, was she the one fired? Mm-hmm. Well, that's Reese, so you know she right, so I forgot to go.
Thank
on
you.
Yeah. You know, I love you guys' transparency because that is what people need to hear. Because we try to put that front up like we got saved and turned perfect. No, we are a work in progress. And when I hear the transparency, you know, of I was here, but now I'm here, I ain't there yet, that's real to people. I don't, you know, that is what draws people in. Don't tell me I got to join the day and be perfect 5 minutes later. No, tell me Jesus can accept me and I'm still all the way messed up, you know, and then he'll work on me.
Yes.
You know, when we do that's real. But trying to fake like, you know, I don't do nothing wrong no more, that's not real. That is not real. But Jesus is forgives me for my wrong and is working with me to get better. And that's the way it's going to be till I leave here. But he loves me 100%. And like Deacon Charles Tate says, I'm learning to love you more and more each day. And that's the truth.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah. But again, I go and blame Oliver too, because that's, you know, he's the husband and he let his wife teach like that. Now I'm over here preaching like this and classes all over time. See, so but I forgive y'all for that. So coming up, this Friday, bring back the family. This Saturday, Elder Joseph Stevens gonna be preaching, and Sunday I'll be back with another comedy show, and we'll be all set to go.
Okay.
Okay, Loretta, I done ran your class over. I had to do that or it wouldn't be, I would have been the only one over. So I had to run your class over. So now it's you and me. So there you go.
Okay.
But of course, I was over further than you. I ought to keep talking to at least 8:15. Then you'll be worse. Yeah, then I won't be the worst.
Loretta, he ain't gonna be wearing your class over. It's still him. It ain't you.
If that wasn't Reese, I'm telling you.
Let him know, Reese. He wrong. Let him know.
Yeah.
Finally got me. Okay, Loretta, I'm wrong, so you go ahead. I wouldn't accept it, though. If Reese hadn't said that, I'd be like, I'm right. But then Reese said it, so I got to be wrong.
All right. Father, we come to you just like I said in opening prayer. We're inviting you into our hearts, into our lives, into our homes. We accept your invitation, Father. We will gratefully eat off that platter that you've given us, Father, so we can go out there and serve it to somebody else. So, Father, continue to allow us to grow. Continue to allow us to live, to laugh, and to love you for the rest of the days we have on this earth. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, sister, well, you did it.
I'm really glad it's over, but now that I know it, like I said, we do have to find another way with these books. So
you hit the nail on the head.
On the same
right, I saw so many conflicts, Jesus say, so now do you know what to do? I know what to do. So we're going to sell that prayerfully. I don't know if they'll get here by Sunday, but maybe they'll get here before. I don't know. But anyway, they're on the way. They're on the way. The fix is on the way.
All righty.
Amen.
Amen. Well, everybody have a good evening. Thank you all for your participation. And I ain't going to say nothing else because I ain't going over further than Pastor. Bye.
Oh, wow. She's figuring it out. Sound the words, sound the words, Jesus.
Thank you. did it, I say God taught me. When they ask me how I'm winning, I say God taught me. When they ask me why I'm different, I say God taught me. This my time to get it. God taught me. When they ask me how I did it, I say God taught me. I do not lie. People always changing colors like a stoplight. I'ma call you lefty cause I know you not right. When you thought I was done, you should learn from Saint Nick and check twice. Ask me how I got here, I'll say God brought me. Ask me who this power from, it's gone on me. Every step I'm taking, I know God got me. I learned from the best, you can tell them God taught me. Yes. I say God taught me. When they ask me why I'm different, I say God taught me. This my time to get it. God taught me. When they ask me how I did it, I say God taught me. When they ask me how I'm winning, I say God taught me. When they ask me why I'm different, I say God taught me. This my time to get it. God taught me.
Keep me on the way when I walk like this, sauce like this. I'm a boss, I guess, God knows I'm blessed. Go to the bank and I cash that check. Guess what's next? I'll be the best. Don't get confused, I'm reliable, that's cause I always produce. God chose me so I don't have to choose. I can live out my dream, must be the shoes.
You don't wanna offend anybody, so you tiptoe. You so focused on your balance like you're a flamingo. Enjoy your day, I don't give those. You thought you could slow me down, well, truth is out here, but it's hiding. So I make all of this music and they all make it. All your blooming smoke like it was cannabis. Why you ignoring what the problem is? This year let's come together, put a stop to this. Long live the revolution. God with us. God with us. God taught me. When they ask me why I'm different, I say God taught me. This my time to get it.
God taught me.
When they ask-